Hello and welcome to the podcast for Christ Community Church in Oak Ridge, Tennessee. These are the messages given on Sunday morning, November 25th, 2012, by guest speakers and missionaries Matt King of Chicago and Victor Nandagam from India, answering the question, do you still believe it's the love of Christ that changes people's hearts? And where have you seen it? So as I was saying, this is a special morning because, as Tom said, two of our missionaries that we support as a church are here with us. And whenever missionaries are in town, we're like, bring it, dude. We're going to give you a question and you just bring the sermon for us. And so what we want to do, actually, we're going to do, if you were here last week, we kind of copied the way they do things where Matt works at the Bridge in Chicago, where they give a few pastors one question, one topic, and they have kind of 10 or so minutes to answer that topic. And, you know, like they were saying last week, in Chicago, if you don't do that in 10 minutes, then there are big, scary dudes who can take you down. And we don't necessarily have those guys. Caleb and Julio are looking a little fierce in the back. I don't know if they're going to take anybody down. But what we do have is we have a question that Matt and Victor are going to answer for us. Actually, before I get to the topic, somebody told me, and this person will remain nameless, that one thing we should do when we're introing Matt is to let you know that not only is he from Christ Community, not only is he one of our folks, not only is he a full-time missionary serving the Lord in Chicago, but he's also at the top, the head, first position in the Christ Community Church Fantasy Football League. He doesn't even go here. So I sensed a lot of bitterness on that deal. I should say that the last time I was in it, I won it. So maybe that's why he's in the first position, is I don't play anymore. So is that okay? So, okay, well, I'm going to pay for that, aren't I? Question that our friends are going to answer this morning is, do you still believe that it's the love of Christ that changes people's hearts? Do you still believe it's the love of Christ that changes people? Have you seen it and where? And folks, it's my extreme honor and pleasure to introduce to you not only one of our missionaries, but one of my best friends, Matt King.
Hey guys, it's good to be here. It's good to be here for a lot of reasons. One of which is you guys are the reason that I get to, you know, eat food and have gas and have a roof over my head, and that's very lovely of you, and I hope that continues. So I plan to do a good job. Actually, you guys are literally the reason I got to come home for the holidays this year. Because of your support for my salary, I could buy a car that would make it here without the running, just putting prayer in the fuel tank, which is nice. It's a used Kia, in case anyone thinks that their money is being used so that I can live lavishly. Let's all just calm down. So the thing about this question is, normally, I'm going to give you a few differences of when Lee says you guys copy the Bridge thing that Glenn came up with. That's true in a lot of ways. It's not true in a few ways. One is, at the Bridge, you don't get about 10 minutes. You get 10 minutes. And it's actually not the big scary guys. It's Glenn, at around 8 minutes, will just stand in the back and start staring. And the closer he gets to 10 minutes, his eye will twitch more and more. And we've never seen what happens at the end of that story, but I don't want to be the one who's on stage when we find out the end of that story. So you just kind of get off. The other one is the questions. The Bridge questions are very very specific and very targeted. Lee texted me this question last week, and I texted him back and said, so Tom just wants me to tell a story that will make him cry, pretty much. And I go back, yeah, that's pretty much what we're doing here. So I'm going to try to fulfill that objective and give us all something that hopefully, in the more Bridge style, that hopefully something you guys can take home with you. It is a great question in that, do you believe that Jesus is still the thing that changes hearts? And I do. And I actually believe it more now than I ever have, because I tell people about Jesus in an environment as different from the one I was told about Jesus in as possible. About the first month I was in Chicago, some of you have heard the story, I was in a meeting to get approval to go into Cook County Jail, which is not a real pleasant place to be anyway. No part of this was I excited about. And I was sitting down next to just a guy who knew Glenn, which is not surprising because in Chicago, everyone knows Glenn. If you're ever in Chicago and you're in trouble or about to be robbed, or just try telling them you know Glenn, and it may work. It's like a decent shot that will get you out of that situation. And the guy, actually, because the first ministry letter that Mission USA sent out, hello, after I got up there was about me, obviously, about a new staff person. And so this guy, who's about a 30-year-old Puerto Rican brother, sits down and says, "Are you the guy from Tennessee?" Oh, yeah, I get their ministry letter, and shake hands and chat for an hour or so during this very long, very long meeting. And so as we're leaving, we're walking back out to Glenn's car, and Glenn says, "Well, you just had your first near-death experience." And I thought, I was in a room, like sitting behind a folding table, filling out a form. Was it a James Bond pen that had a countdown? What are we talking about here? He says, "Well, the guy you were sitting next to turned state's evidence against one of the largest gang organizations in Chicago and has the largest bounty in the history of Chicago gangs on his head. So shaking hands with him means that the largest street gang in Chicago now considers you someone who should probably be shot on sight if they ever saw that." And I thought, this is going to be different from Young Life. I don't think my high school football stories are going to do anything for these people. So what do I do? But that draws a stark contrast in those lifestyles draws that Jesus is the constant. The people that I preach to every week, the people I work with, are more like me spiritually than I ever would have guessed at the beginning. Last week, we had a guy, we serve a meal at the bridge after. So whenever you guys make brownies and stuff for when the high school kids come up or when Podsy's community group came up, and part of the money for that trip goes to buy this meal. And we started to have a lot of folks from the neighborhood just stop by. They stop by for the meal, and later on they'll stop by for the service, hopefully. And that's one of the bigger criticisms that anyone will have of inner-city ministry or ministry to the least of these is, well, they're probably just there for the food. And Glenn's response to that is there's an old Chicago saying that says, "Just when you think you're getting to me, I'm getting to you. Just when you think you're playing us, we've got you right where we want you." There was a guy who he had come for the meal a couple of times. He's in a wheelchair. And during our first worship set, his wife came in the back door. I didn't know she was his wife at the time. And I was kind of the nearest staff person, so I went to ask. And she asked, "Do you guys have an elevator to get my husband down here? He's in a wheelchair." Okay. I went and grabbed the person who works at the church we're at, and we got this guy set up. And the lady who, those of you who have gone up and done the host team, you've met Miss Patricia. She was in the elevator, and the guy was having an argument with his wife about not wanting to go in to the church. He thought they were coming by to find out what time the food was, then they would leave and come back when the food was. His wife was not having any of that, and Miss Patricia was certainly not having any of that, and this dude didn't stand a chance. I just wanted to put my hand on his shoulder and just, "You know you're not going to win. Just stop swinging. There's no entry in this." His wife was so not having it to the point when they were wheeling him in, there's a little, in an elevator, that little bumper kind of when it seals the weather, and she goes, it gets hung on, and she goes, "That's just the devil trying to keep you out of church." And I thought, look, I'm comfortable with the devil working in insidious ways, but I think that's more Chicago building code. I don't know we can chalk that one up to the devil. But he came in and in the middle of the first sermon. And by the end of the night, he was crying to Glenn about how no one had ever treated him that way, and he'd never heard this, which is a fantastic story, and it is my story. I went to Young Life weekend camp at Windy Gap when I was a junior in high school, and I thought I was going to get to do all the fun stuff and skip all the Jesus stuff. And about 30 hours after I got there, I was done. I was sunk. I was in. It happens that fast. I recognized exactly what that guy was going through, because the same spirit that took a hold of him was the one that had taken hold of me. Amen. And that bears out in your walk. I've got a text here from Galatians chapter 3. I'm going to jump around a little bit. But this is Paul speaking to the Galatians in chapter 3, verses 2 through 5. "I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning by means of the Spirit, are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh? So again I ask, does God give you His Spirit and work miracles among you by the works of the law or by believing what you heard? The main reason I believe with my whole heart that Jesus is the only thing that changes hearts is because everything else fails at that task. There are people who can live a socially acceptable life without Jesus. There are people who can maintain family relationships without Jesus. There are, I'm ashamed to say, people who can do very effective and impressive ministry without Jesus. But there's no one who can have a changed heart without Jesus. And I want to talk about something even more than that. Anything that we try to add on top of Jesus in the changing of our heart only slows the process down. And that's another thing that is exactly the same for the folks at the bridge in East Garfield Park in Chicago in the middle of a vice lord's neighborhood as it is for people in Oak Ridge and Clinton. And it was for me. Because when Paul's talking about the law, those are the good things. We have evangelicals and New Testament Christians, I'm going to punch that by the end of the sermon, have a way of thinking of the law as something ridiculable. There's, and it's true, there's goofy stuff in the law. There's mixed fibers, and there's times of day you can do stuff. And there's all, but there, the law is also the thing that says, don't murder, and don't cheat on your spouse, and give to the poor. It is the law that says, take care of widows and orphans. It's not that the law is bad. It's not that behaving is bad, but it can't change your heart. And one of the biggest struggles that the guys I work with have are there are things from their culture that they are willing to let go of and things that they're not because they consider them good. And every week we go into the bridge, and every time I sit down and have a hamburger with somebody, I'm trying to convince them that it's not good, it's just not what God wants for you. The categories in our lives are no longer good and bad by our own judgment. There's what Jesus has for you, and there's everything else. There are guys in the neighborhood who, things in these neighborhoods and these gang-affiliated places that they have on the culture that we're all a part of. They're more loyal. They take care of their own. They are hardworking. They are ambitious. But those things can't change your heart. Only Jesus can do that. The biggest struggle in my life, I'm only going to talk about myself, but you can just blink at me if you agree, is letting go of the things about me that I know are good to change them out for what God wants for me. Because nothing else can change my heart. Your job is great. Financial security is great. But it can't change your heart. Family values, however you interpret that term, is great. I'm not here to tell you that's bad. I'm just here to tell you that it can't change your heart. Before the verse as I just read in Galatians 2:22, Paul says, I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. It just doesn't work. Even the things that we try to convince ourselves work. Just don't get it done. Verse 15 of that Galatians chapter says, the covenant cannot be added to. Taking what Jesus did on the cross and adding willpower or adding guilt or adding discipline does not help the process along. It hinders. Because that all kind of feeds back to you. Nothing gives life other than the Spirit. And nothing plus the Spirit. There's nothing you can add on top of that Spirit that accelerates that process. Because that's the very definition of sin. Taking something God is doing anyway and trying to add your little thing on top of it. And the analogy I've had in my head for the past couple of months is, imagine Christ on the cross. The eternity of man's sin and your specific sin crushed into 3 hours of pain and torment. And imagine looking him in the eye and saying, yeah, but I go home every night and feel really crappy about the bad things I did. So we're kind of in this together, right? I mean, you got it there, but then me feeling really crappy about myself kind of pushed this whole salvation thing over the finish line. There's a verse that my boss uses a lot. It says, it is for freedom that you have been set free. Christ did not set us free, did not give us this spirit that changes hearts so we could sit in the same place. He did not open the jail cell door so that we could continue sitting in the cell until we felt like the price was paid. The price has been paid. The heart is new. And it has things to do. The thing that I can never convince the guys at the bridge of, because I can never convince myself of it, is that God has something for you today and for the rest of your life, knowing full well who you are. He knows your record. He knows the things you've done. He knows the things that have been done to you, the things you've seen. And they're over. And he has something for you to do. So to not do those things because you're hanging on to something else is to deny the spirit that is within us, that saved us and gave us a new heart. And it's the only thing that has, and it's the only thing that can continue doing so. Thank you.
We've already talked about Victor before, and most of you guys know or have known Victor from years past or have met him or heard him speak. I'm just going to go ahead and say that one of the greatest honors that any of us have in being a part of this church, if you're a part of it, is that we are part of the support team of Victor Nondigam. The stuff that he does, if you could catch a glimpse of it, if you could see it for a second, if you could just see it, you would be totally, totally floored. If you could see it from the perspective of heaven, you'd just be goofy for the rest of your life. You'd be so excited that you were a part of it. The fact that we get to financially and prayerfully support Victor Nondigam is one of our greatest honors. He's one of our greatest treasures. I think that I'll steal this from Devin. Sometimes we think this is something Devin said in an elders meeting one time, but sometimes we think of certain people in the Christian culture as being like really awesome Christians, you know, like the Billy Grahams and stuff like that, and that when they get to heaven, you know, it's one of those, it's going to blow the whole place wide open and everybody's going to be so excited and everything. And Devin said, the sense that you get when you see Jesus talking is that, you know, it's the people that nobody's ever heard of, that are doing things that nobody could even imagine, that are just gonna blow the doors off the place. And Devin has this thing, I don't know if you've ever seen like when the Chicago Bulls come out onto the court, like all the lights go down and there's like this laser thing and it's like, and now, you know, and then this music starts and then everybody starts screaming, and then they, you know, and they announce the Bulls won by, you know, name by name, and Devin said it's gonna be like that in heaven. It's like, you know, Billy Graham and Francis Chan and all these guys we think are so cool. And then it's like, and then the lights go down and it's like, and now Victor Nondigam. And then just people, millions of people screaming. And it's one of those moments where this is folks, Christ Community folks, this is one of the best things we do, is show up and give our money so that we can keep guys like Matt and guys like Victor on the field. They are the reason we're here. So, folks, join me in welcoming our brother, Victor Nondigam.
I'm so happy to be here this morning with you. And you need to pay a little bit attention from my language. I mean, from my English, I think, to get those things. It's really a thrill to be here once again in CCC. And I have to say, this is my sending church because this is the only church that supports me personally to go into the field and minister in different areas. Well, when Pastor Tom Job asked me, do you believe that Christ's love still convinces? change the hearts of the people. Well, I thought 100%. I mean, it's for sure. I believe that. I mean, the word of God clearly says in John 3:16, we know everyone, for God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We have been talking about Thanksgiving. We have been talking about the Christmas gifts and all. And God has given us his only begotten son as a gift to all of us. And through him we have everlasting life. And these words have a power in it. The word of God is powerful unto salvation. If you believe those things. And this is the greatest gift that we have. And we definitely, for sure, we believe that Christ is effective. Christ's love is effective because he has gone for us on behalf of us on the cross of Calvary. And that's what I have. That's what I see in my life, in the ministry, wherever I go. The country, I mean, talking about in India, India is the largest democratic nation in the world. I have shared several times. We have over 1 billion, 30 million people right now. We have over 23 major languages and 2,400 dialects. And wherever you travel, you find a new person, a new language. We have 300 million gods and goddesses, and people see everywhere they're worshiping different things. I mean, targeting, especially when you talk about India, you may say that a lot of Indians around us, they're lawyers, doctors, you know, all kinds of people. But once you leave the cities and towns and you go away out in the rural areas where 80% of the Indian people live, in the remote areas, and they have their own village gods and goddesses. They have shamans. They have witchcraft doctors. And everywhere, people do not know anything about Christ. And I believe that they always go out to the soothsayer or a witchcraft doctor, asking her what we can do to our gods to please them, because they are living under a great fear. If they don't offer a chicken, if they don't offer a goat, eventually, those gods are going to come upon them and spoil their, crops and destroy their homes. So the people are in those areas, especially, living under a great fear. When we take this gospel to these people, and this is so much realistic for them, as if they are ready to receive this gospel, just ready, just waiting. Who will tell us this good news? You need not to sacrifice anymore. Christ has done everything for you, on behalf of you. He made the sacrifice once for all. That's the key. That opens the key. They burst into tears and say that, we never heard this one. We want to believe in Lord Jesus Christ. That has been my experience. The Christ's love is still effective. I mean, anybody in the world, I have never seen a person, I believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, just my logic, because of my logic. No, this is always from the word of God. And the word comes to you and hit your heart, you're going to believe. And the Christ is still effective in these areas where we are working. People are, caught up with so many different gods and goddesses. Still, when they hear that they need not to sacrifice anything, and they need not to be fearful of their own gods and goddesses and images. And they're so realistic for them. And they say, we want to accept Christ. That has been in my life, I have been experiencing wherever we go. I mean, I do not have much time, but I can tell you one story. Out of those lot of experiences, I can talk in 2-3 hours here. There is one village in India. We have got a challenge from the witchcraft doctor for our missionaries, saying that I'm going to send the demonic forces onto you. You will not come to this village again. That's what I'm going to do. The day came and he went and he sat somewhere in, where he, do the things like in a area. And he started calling those demonic forces. And our missionary guys got together and started praying over there in that village. And this witchcraft doctor actually sent those demonic forces. See, for me, I born and grew up in a small town in India. I do not know anything about the tribal backgrounds and all these things. I just came through the studying an article in my Bible college. Then I started going to these people. Anyway, when he started, you know, calling those demonic forces, and finally he sent them. And they went to attack these missionaries, but they couldn't do it. And they came back and attacked the same person who sent those demons. And he was fell, he was unconscious, his face was like a long crushed, and when the family members saw him lying down over there, they brought him to the home and they could hear a lot of voices and things like that. Then they went and asked our missionaries to come and see him, what was happened to him. And then they called me, Victor, would you come to this village and see that we want to go to this witchcraft doctor. We all went together to this family. And he was lying down on the cot, and I said, we will pray for him. We do not know what was happened, but we will pray for him. We started praying along with the family members in that home for 3 days. And the third day, he started talking normally. He came to kind of normal conscience situation. Then he started talking to us. And he said this one, when you send the demonic forces unto someone else, if they can't do anything to those people, they will come and attack you back. I mean, they come and attacked him, and that's why he was completely down and unconscious. And then we shared the gospel with this man. Thus, Jesus is all-powerful. And that man, that day, he recognized the love of Christ for the people. And he accepted Christ. And all the family members accepted Christ. And that man now sitting in the church and worshiping the Lord. And because of that thing, because the recognition of the love of Christ for the people, he changed his life. And because of his testimony, it was so powerful, because everybody runs to him and asks what we can do to please our gods. Because he changed now. And for that reason, there is 65% of the people in the village is completely Christians right now. Christ's love is still effective. Christ's love is still effective. And I can tell you story after story what God has done in these villages. It is so satisfying to see people with a great hunger for the word of God. They want to know. You know, you set up a meeting, people walk miles to come to that place to listen to the word of God. And they walk back miles back to their homes in the nights after the meeting. So such a great hunger that we could see in these areas. In many places, and when I go and I tell the people, like, you know, many times pastor or anybody say, anybody comes to us, tell about love, and there's three words in Greek, and I think you all know this, tell you agape is the God's love and things. I also tell there are three kinds of loves. One is if kind of love, if English in brackets, if kind of love. If you love me, I will also love you. And there is also because kind of love. I love you because you are loving me. But there is also in spite of love. Whether you love me or you don't love me, we still love you. That is the Christ character love that we show to these people. One of our missionary went to a village and he was beaten by the people, Hindu radicals, and thrown out of the village, and he became mad. But still we go and talk to these people and show the love of Christ, and they recognize it. What a love that we experience these people. So they come to know the Lord. So we are all weak, ungodly, enemies, and sinners. Yet Christ died for us. That Calvary love can turn the world. So with all these experiences, when I have all these experiences in these villages, I can boldly say that Christ's love is effective. If anybody does not have that experience in their lives, it is better to recognize that love. It is effective. That's why Paul says, even in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade man. Knowing the terror of the Lord, when the day of judgment, when the Christ come, that's an extremely fearful situation for the people. Knowing these things, we persuade man. We know that these people do not know about the love of Christ. That's why we have been going to these areas and putting forth efforts to show the love of Christ to these people, how he loved the mankind. We persuade people because we don't want to see that they go into hell. At least we want to be the witnesses over there. People should listen to the gospel. That's why, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade man to recognize the love of Christ. We have been doing this work for the last 22 years in these areas. And we have thousands of people come to know the Lord, planted churches in many places. And when I go and look at these areas, it's always amazing to see how the Lord is doing this ministry. That's why I encourage, you know, Pastor Tom Job and other church members, elders, that you take an opportunity to come to these areas and go with us to these places and train to our pastors and missionaries and elders in the churches. And once again, I tell you that the Christ love is still effective in these areas. I have to say that the Spirit of God is really working in these areas. There's a great opportunity. People are with great hunger. You just put forth efforts to reap the harvest. And that satisfaction nobody can give in this world. So I request all of the church members, send Pastor Tom Job to India one time. I think my time is over. Thank you so much and to be here and continue to pray for our missionaries and pastors. And last time a great persecution was broke up in other village, and they beat up a lot of Christian families in the one village, and they wanted to kill our missionary. They destroyed the church building over there and all these things. In spite of all these things, my friends, a lot of people in India who are in Hyderabad do not know anything about those areas. They ask me, why do you want to go to these areas again? The fact is, people with great hunger of God. The reception of the people to know about the Christ love. So, Christ Calvary love can turn the world. Believe that. I have in my life. I've been seeing, I've been watching, I've been experiencing. So Christ's love is still effective. That's what I want to say.
About Christ Community Church in Oak Ridge, including staff blogs, ministries we love and support, or just to connect with us, you can find us on the web at c3oakridge.org.